Welcome to all of you to our Good Friday service. We're filming this on Maundy Thursday night, the night that Jesus was betrayed. And we're going to take part in what's sometimes called Tenebrae. It literally means the service of shadows. It's an opportunity for us to reflect on the final day of Jesus' life, as told by the Gospel of Matthew. And as we start, I invite you to bow your heads with me and let's pray. Holy and loving God, as we prepare to set aside our business and to focus intently on Jesus' suffering and death, we ask for eyes to see all of the amazing things that Jesus' death means for us, that we might understand you, your love, and our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as a church, let's sing together, God of Wonders.
This first song is a fantastic song to just listen to and join in with and reflect on how wonderful our God is.
Thank you.
our first reading, the shadow of betrayal. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "One who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You say it." Our second reading, the shadow and the agony of spirit and Jesus' arrest. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here. Keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but your will." And then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same things. And he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." And while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." And going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." And then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and they arrested him. As Jesus just prayed in the garden, let's join together and pray for our world. Dear people of God, God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved, that all believe in him might be delivered from the power of sin and death and become heirs with him of eternal life. Let us pray for the one holy, universal and apostolic Church of Christ throughout the world. Pray for its unity in witness and service, for church leaders and ministers and the people whom they serve, for the people of this local community and for all Christians who live in it, that God will confirm the church in its faith, increase it in love and preserve it in peace. Eternal God, by your Spirit, the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified. Receive our prayers, which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in our vocation and our ministry we may truly serve you. We pray for all nations and the peoples of the earth and for those who are in authority among them. We pray for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and for our Parliament and for our courts, for the members and representatives of nations, and for all who serve the common good, that by God's help they may seek justice and truth and live in peace and concord. Almighty God, grow in us, we pray, and in every heart, the true love for peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take the counsel to the nations of the earth, that justice and peace may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love as the waters cover the sea. We pray also for those who suffer and who are afflicted in body or in mind, for the hungry, for the homeless, for the destitute and the oppressed, for all who suffer persecution, doubt and despair, for the sorrowful and bereaved, for prisoners and captives and those who are in mortal danger, that God will comfort and relieve them and grant them the knowledge of your love, God, and stir up in us will and patience to minister to their needs. Gracious God, the one who comforts all who sorrow, the one whose strength is lent to all who suffer, hear the cry of those who are in need, and in their afflictions show them your mercy, and give us, we pray, the strength to serve them for the sake of him who suffered for us, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for all who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, for all who have not heard the story of Easter, for all who may have lost their faith, and for those who have made their lives indifferent to Christ, and for those who actively oppose him in word and deed, for all who are enemies of Jesus and his cross and persecute his followers, for all who in the name of Christ have persecuted others, that God, you would open their hearts and lead them to faith and obedience. Merciful God, creator of the peoples of the earth, the lover of our soul, have compassion on all who do not know you, as you are revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Let your gospel be spoken with grace and power to those who haven't heard. Turn the hearts of those who resist. Bring home to those who have gone astray, that there may be one shepherd, Jesus, over your flock. Father, we want to commit ourselves to you and pray by the grace of a holy life, that with all those who have died in Christ and those whose faith is in him alone, may be counted worthy to enter into your kingdom on that future day of resurrection. Eternal God of unchanging power and light, look with mercy on your whole church. Bring to completion your saving work so that the whole world may see the fallen lifted up, the old made new, and all things renewed to perfection through the one through whom everything was made, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the power of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. As a church, we come to God in prayer when we gather because we believe that God not only hears our prayers, but that he answers them because he is powerful and because he is gracious and merciful to us. And we know that that's the character of God because he's been demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to sing of the power of God at work in our life through the death of the Lord Jesus. Let's sing together the power of the cross.
Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood.
Try.
Third reading, the shadow of denial. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about." And then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those who were standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away." And then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Our fourth reading, the shadow of accusation. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. And then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." And then Pilate released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. And then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They wove together a crown of thorns, stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him and set it on his head. And they put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. Our fifth reading, the shadow of crucifixion and humiliation. After the soldiers had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And there they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." And in the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, said, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. We'll let God rescue him now if he wants to. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" At this moment in our time together, we're going to press pause and we're going to hear a beautiful piece of music from Bach. And as it's played, and as we reflect on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, use this time to bring your own concerns to God, to think what it must have been like, to imagine yourself there, to see Jesus nailed to a cross, to see him suffering, not for himself, but for you and for me. Use this time as a time of reflection and awe at the God who loves us this much. our sixth reading, the shadow of death. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all of the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it for Jesus to drink. And the rest said, "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. The tombs broke open. The bodies of many who had died were raised to life and came out of the tombs after Jesus had raised from the dead and appeared to many people. And when the centurion and those who were with him and guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Our seventh reading, the shadow of burial. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a follower of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, brothers, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" May Jesus Christ, who for our sake became obedient to death, even to death on a cross, keep you and strengthen you until the dawn of the third day. Let's sing together, "Man of Sorrows."
This final song of the service reflects on how Christ was betrayed, taken to a cross, killed, and was then risen again. But because today, on Good Friday, we are reflecting on the death of Christ, we're going to end the song at that point where Christ died, so that we can take it up again with him being risen on Easter Sunday morning.